Hello and welcome to another episode of Running Gingerly Podcast. How is Switzerland, Kevin?
For the time of year, it's really not very snowy, but it's good aside from that. Sunny instead.
And of course, the question on all of our listeners' lips at the moment is, did you bring home the bacon? From our last episode, you were talking about you had a race coming up. Last time out, you came fourth and won some nice dried ham. So did you bring home the bacon?
Not really. No. Oh. Well, I know. I did bring home other food related goods, but they were not a part of a prize like last time. This was the sort of entry pack when you turned up, you know, the way before a race you might get a t-shirt.
Yeah. But some local produce.
Yeah, so I got some juice. It was very Swiss. I got some local homemade juice. So dried salami sausage, some cheese, and a small bottle of wine, which is not bad.
That's a decent, better than a t-shirt for sure. And how was the race? How did it go for you?
It was not as enjoyable previously because there hasn't been a lot of snow. So instead of running up and down in snow, we sort of were sliding up in the snow, trying to hold on to things as I slid up on hard packed snow, and then tried desperately to stay safe on the downhills because it was just ice, because the snow would melt during the day and then it'd frozen overnight. So it was just lots of sheet ice. So I took a couple of tumbles, but they were in the snow. But the snow was still sharp enough that I brought up some blood because it had just like frozen into icy snow. But I didn't fall on the ice, and there was a lot of ice, and I had quite a few wobbles, but no falls.
I'm not sure the phrase is brought up some blood. That sounds very exorcist-like, as if you're vomiting streams of blood, which is pretty extreme. I think you mean you cut yourself, right?
Rather than I did cut myself. The lowlights was the fear of death, and also I think they did say we should bring crampons, and I don't own crampons, so I didn't wear crampons. I should have worn crampons because most people wore crampons and they had more grip. It was the first race in a long time where I've, you know, certainly lost time on the downhills because I was trying not to die. But on the bright side, I did get through it. I didn't die. And I was faster than last year and closer to the guy in first. So that was good. So it was a fun day out.
It's good training anyway. A nice short, sharp blast in the mountains, I'm sure it was good.
Exactly. And
training.
It's a race. You start at 9, you're done by 10:30. I'm back in my house by midday. It's a very civilized race.
Indeed.
So that was fun. You been up to much?
Nah, just trying to trundle through the training. 6 days a week still. All good. Hills good. Legs have felt okay. I had to do a couple of, just with work and everything else, I had to do a couple of evening runs by myself in the woods with my head torch, which, you know, always slightly puts me on edge, but had to be done. So faced my fear and went and did that. But no, it's all good. I'm feeling in good shape. I've got 5-6 weeks to go to my next race, which is the Centurion 100 Hills, which I haven't done before. But kind of treating that in itself as my long run ahead of a bigger race in May. But feeling in good shape. So looking forward to kind of going into the last block of that training and go from there. So no, all good. I did... Yeah, I was saying we had a, you know, we've just got back into doing these podcasts again after a little bit of break. So I was just keeping an eye on any comments and stuff coming in. And I think the Paddy Buckley ep went down well, the first one, which was great. Nice to hear. I saw there was a bit of love on the Paddy Buckley Facebook group for it. Some guy said he was listening to it as he was out wrecking the bog section and found it very useful. So I can't remember what we said about the bog. I think we did say at the end of the bog section there's that descent off Knicht, which is not runnable, so maybe that was helpful. I don't know, but the guy's name was Mark Robinson, so good luck to Mark as and when he decides to take on Paddy Buckley. So yeah, just keeping an eye on that. But other than that, yeah, all good, all good.
Well, that's good. It's nice that people listen to us and hopefully enjoy it and get some benefits for it for their rounds, even if it's just to know
Don't do what
the
we
bog
did.
section. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah. Speaking of not doing things, then.
Yes, I had a story, and I haven't told you this, but we were supposed to record this podcast the other day, and then I think you were busy, and we had to postpone. And it was probably good because I had, like you, I was back late, and I had to do an evening run in the dark in the woods with my head torch, and I think I'd put on some music, and which I don't usually, but I was a bit tired because I'd come for the race, and I was just jogging along in this little single track path through the forest, and there had been a tree which had fallen over across the path and was lying across the path, and somebody had come along, probably the council or the Swiss equivalent, and they had chopped the tree, so you no longer had to duck under this tree, but they hadn't chopped it all the way back, so there was still part of it. They're sticking out over the trail. And then there was a branch, a sort of like, I guess, saucer-sized branch, which they trimmed back to the trunk. And I was running along, totally missed this branch and just this trunk and just smacked into it. And like I didn't see it at all. So one moment I'm running along, and the next moment I'm on the ground, pounding headache.
Did you bring up
And
blood?
I brought up blood. I thought it was. At first, I didn't have a clue what it was. It's like you hit by a sledgehammer. I did actually bring up blood. I actually had a cut on my knee, and he from the fall, like the fall to the ground. But I didn't realize that until about 45 minutes later when I made my way home. But it was like, have you ever seen the comedy or the like cartoons where like the cartoon characters get hit on their head and their teeth all fall out? It was like that. My teeth properly rattled, and dazed and all over the place. Like it was, I thankfully I didn't, I wasn't bleeding from my head, and I don't think I had a concussion. I was going back. I was walking on, going, can I still like do 81 plus 62 added in my head to see if it still worked? And it was, yeah,
143.
it's my head still hurts. It was a very bad bang, and I just didn't see it at all. So yeah, that was
Was that your
not.
segue into tonight's topic, which we were going to talk about, which was basically when the shit hits the fan, right?
Yeah, when things go wrong, they can go very wrong on a training run, like they did.
In fact, I was thinking about that. I was thinking, actually, we haven't had that many races that have gone wrong. I mean, we've been doing ultras now for 11 years, no, 12 years, something like that, a long time. And between us, we've only had one DNF. Sadly to say, that's me, not you. So we can come on to that. But other than that, we've got through races. So we've had definitely low points and when things go wrong in races, but we haven't had that many go wrong. But on our training runs, we've had quite a few things go wrong on our training runs, especially around NAV, which will definitely be one of the topics of things we talk about on this.
Yes.
Our NAV is quite loose at the best of times, and at least in a race, there's other people and there's generally some course markings and other things that might get you back on track. But some of them training runs, yeah, you're left in the wild by yourself, I'm afraid. So we can talk about that, but yeah, so we've got, I guess, between us, we've got a good amount of experience in race now, and I think in the last few years anyway, we've dealt with adversity much better, and I think it just comes with experience, right? And it's that, I love that phrase of failing forward, which is obviously, if something goes wrong and you fail, at least fail forward and at least learn from it and put in place something to avoid it. And I think pretty much all the things that could go wrong have gone wrong at some point. and you probably learn from that and you get better. Or maybe
Yeah.
not even better, but you find a way to deal with it that's less painful or less stressful or whatever it might be. So, I
Yeah,
mean,
I like the phrase when things go wrong, don't go with them, because
oh,
things are
haven't heard
gonna
that.
go wrong. And yeah, you can either handle them well or handle them badly. And I think I've done both. Handle adversity well in races and handle adversity badly in races as well.
Yeah. I slight segue, but given you get one of your training runs, I've had a pretty stressful week at work. I've just very overworked and tired, and there's just been a lot going on. And anyway, I wouldn't say I've been in the best of moods at home. And I went one of these runs. I went out for a run the other evening, and I got, as you know, run around here. There's lots of briars and stuff. And I got, that sometimes you slash it across your leg. You kind of drag
Oh,
one leg onto the other, onto the back of your leg, and
yes,
slice it with briars.
awful.
And as you know, I'm not a particularly sweary individual, but I turned around and called a tree an effing something. Like no one else around. I was just like, and then I kind of went to myself, God, I am a bit uptight here. I think I do need to. You need to keep running here and maybe just de-stress a bit more. If you turn around and swearing at a tree in the middle of nowhere at night, it's like, yeah, I think you're a bit on edge. So, yeah, that's not dealing with adversity very well. I don't think the tree particularly cared, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
So where should we
Well,
start? Think things go wrong. I mean, top of your list when things go wrong, what would you put?
as in the worst things to go wrong.
I don't know, just what's gone wrong the most. What I don't pick a topic.
Well, I was going to start with the weather because it was the nicest one. I feel we've generally handled the weather not too bad. The worst things to go wrong for me have been bonking in a race. So I don't know whether we're bonking. I toss up.
I mean, the weather is one of those things that you just have to learn to accept. If you're going to go into the mountains or even out in the trail and you're doing anything of any distance, then chances are you're going to get some bad weather at some point. If you're doing a big round or a 100 mile or something like that in the mountains, the chances of you having perfect weather all day are pretty much nil. And so I think you have to accept that there will be periods when the weather's going to be bad, and that can make or break your race, really, as to whether you can deal with that or not.
Yeah.
Because it'll probably change. I mean, in all our years of doing a race, we've never had awful weather from start to finish. I'm sure there are races out there. I'm sure listeners, yeah, you can let us know if you've ever had a race that was start to finish ridiculous. But we've been out, and the Wicklow round was probably the first one that jumps out at me as awful weather back in Ireland that time.
Yes, where we had locals swearing going that weather, F and hell, it was quite fun.
Yeah, well, the wasn't it because our folks were crewing us on that one, and they didn't they say the Irish Army was up in the mountains doing some training exercises, and they pulled them out because the weather was too bad, and mum and dad were sat in the car park going, yeah, if they're pulling the army out, I'm not sure the lads should be up there. But
We shouldn't have been, I think, but
yeah. Maybe
we were up
not.
there and we just had to get down. That was the only way.
Yeah, I mean that with that one, I mean we wrote about it in that article that we wrote at the time. But like we were about ready to quit. Coming down off Lugnaquilla, Aquila, I think we both said, yeah, okay, we just need to get down here and I'm done. I think we're both done. It's certainly the closest we came to just pulling out, because we'd had at that stage about 8 or 9 hours of bad weather through the night, and it'd just been brutal, hadn't it? But I think it probably more, I don't know if we were obviously cold and wet, but it definitely gets in your head as much as anything else. Because I think actually the weather, I don't know what I mean, the weather, you can, if you've got the right gear, the weather shouldn't be a problem. That should be part and parcel of your prep, right?
Yeah, I think there are extremes though. Like there, you expect wind and cold and rain. Like the race that sticks in my mind is the 3x3000, where it was in a flood water, Like you expect rain, but that race was like at one stage we were waist deep in water, like holding on to railings, and the like things had been swept away, which was not maybe what we'd prepared for. You know, you expect rain, but not a
No, but
flood.
even that race, like event, the second half of that race, the weather stopped, and I don't think the weather really affected us massively. You got really cold hands. I remember that's when it was after that race. I think you always started doubling up with double pairs of gloves
Yeah.
in your races, didn't you? But you know, part of that is you come into ultra running and trail running, and if you come into it off the back of watching a lot of stuff on Instagram or following the really top guys and following the, you know, I don't know, not calling out any particular brands, but you know, Salomon or anyone else, everything is about being light and being, you know, making sure you got the lightest kit and this many grams less and blah blah blah. And actually, unless you're very, very elite, a few extra grams doesn't make a huge difference. And as we said, and I think in the Paddy Buckley app that we did, going up that last climb, we like I had my not breathable jacket because I was like, well, it's going to keep me warm. Like, I wasn't trying to go for some light, super light, you know. I think there can be a danger that you get sucked into having all that, you know, I want to be the lightest and fastest. And the reality is, you're better just to be warm and dry. That's key to all of this, you know.
Yeah, kit for run is a bit like kit for, I don't know, golfing or something like that. You know, you could buy the expensive stuff, but if you're no good, you're no good, and if you're good, carrying the extra few grams isn't making a difference.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, weather can go wrong. I think the key to dealing with weather is having the right thing. Again, you know, put stuff on before you get cold, because once you get cold, it's very hard to put stuff on, and you know, obviously you get cold putting stuff on as well, you know, so it's kind of a double whammy. So yeah, and you know, if you can see the rain coming in, do up your jacket, you know, again. In these long races, there's sometimes when you go in your head, I don't know if you've had the same thing, but you don't really want to stop because you're like, my rain jacket's in my bag. Like, I'll have to stop, take my bag off, unzip it, get my jacket out. And you know it's the right thing to do, but sometimes when you're that tired and that kind of your head's not straight, or you're not always thinking straight. So again, things like having your jacket maybe not in the zip bit of your bag, but maybe just if there's a loose pocket you can shove it in, so that actually it's easy to get it in and get it out, I think is quite a good tip. Because if it's a faff to do it, sometimes you don't, and that stops you from, you know, taking it in or taking it out.
It's a mad thing that the effort of like unzipping your bag and taking your jacket out seems too much, but running 100 miles does not. And you're like, I have enough energy to run 100 miles in the mountains, but not enough energy to take the jacket from my bag.
And sometimes as well, if it's starting to rain, you're like, ah, it's all right, it's only light rain, I'm not actually cold. But just getting wet, if you're going, it's fine in a short race, but in a long race, if you're getting wet, there gets a point where you're too wet. You better just try to stay dry if you can.
Yeah,
And
and
do that, and you know, put on your gloves before your hands get too cold, because otherwise, you know, if your hands go, you can't, you know, tie your shoelaces or things like that. So,
they're painful as well, and it doesn't do good for your spirits. But
no.
that idea of it's the ridiculous things that go through your head. It's like, oh well, it might stop, so I won't get my jacket out yet. And you're like, yeah, but if it stops, you could take your jacket off rather than going, I'll leave it off, get wet, and if it stops, I might dry, but it might not stop, and I'm already wet then. There's no point putting a
Yeah,
jacket on a wet person.
and as we said, if you're running for 100 miles or 50 miles, whatever, stopping for a minute is not going to affect your race result. And that's all it probably is. Maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes max. That's not going to affect your position or your race result, is it? So, you know, you might as well do it. And I think the other tip we picked up a few years ago, which I definitely, going back to that thing about, If you buy something really light and tight fitted and looks great on you and whatever else, that's great for the ground and for doing your short runs. But one thing we learned was buy a jacket that's a little bit big for you, because if you can put the jacket over your pack as well as over you, then that makes it takes away that faff of having to take off your pack and then put your jacket on and put your pack back on. If you've got a jacket that's a bit bigger and that's in a side pocket in your pack, you don't even need to take your pack off. You just pull it out, you throw it over your pack. If you have your saw flasks that can still normally get access, pop out the top. And that's a really, I think that's a really good tip. If you buy a jacket, when you're trying it on, make it just that little bit bigger. And okay, right, if you're in a big headwind, you might have a bit of a sail and it might slow you down a little bit. But I think, again, in the long term, that's a really nice thing to have, it just makes your life a bit easier and
And it
you're
keeps
more
your
inclined to use it.
it keeps the stuff in your bag dry as well, if you can do
Yeah.
that as well, which is good for like if you've dry clothes or if you're trying to protect a phone or something, you know.
Exactly.
That's good.
Exactly. So, yeah, so I think that's a good tip for the rain. I mean, the cold, just have your layers, isn't it? Base layers, hats, gloves,
It's probably unnecessary to wear two hats, which is, I
As
remember
you like,
starting one
yeah.
race with two hats and two pairs of gloves.
Yeah.
That I stayed
And
warm.
yeah, I quite like the on the gloves front. I quite like the I think Innovate have them, a few other ones where you've got the kind of thin under gloves, which are nice, and then you've got the mitts, the big waterproof mitts that go over them. So again, if it starts raining, you can get the mitts over to keep your hands dry, or if you get really cold, you can put the mitts off, but then you can take them off and still have just nice sized gloves. So I think that they're quite a nice little tip in the for the cold. If you're going into the cold and you're kind of hot cold, they're quite good.
No, that's true.
But yeah, there's been no the Wicklow one was awful, and I think we were ready to drop at that point. We got down to fill in a little bit on, so we got down to the bottom of Lugan Aquila, met our folks, were at the kind of car trying to decide what to do. And if you remember, I
I
just
do.
wolfed down a load of food, and I said to you, Kev, we need to get out of here. And you kind of looked at me, and I was like, no, we need to go now. And we left the car park and ran around the corner, and then I just vomited my guts up because I was like, I couldn't do that in front of our folks because I thought they'd probably, pull us out or not want us to go on or it. And that was kind of the only reason we left the car park. And then, what, 2 minutes later, maybe less, clouds parted out of nowhere, sun came out, and the rest of the round was pretty glorious. And, really, the weather just. The change in weather is a change of changed your mindset, changed everything, wasn't it? And yeah, it was good. So that was bad weather. Obviously, we talked about TDS and the snow. I don't know that. The other extreme of that is the heat. I wouldn't really want to give out any tips on that because I am awful in the heat and I'm still trying to figure it out. I had a pretty rough ride at Snowdonia, 100K last year in the heat. We had a pretty rough ride of TDS in the heat.
I think even the what some of the ones in England, it was a Wendover Woods night one. One of them was very humid. Possibly
Yeah.
you didn't finish it. It definitely
Yeah,
doesn't help.
that was warm, yeah, in the DNF, but I'm not sure it was entirely down to that. But yeah, the only thing I have on the dealing with the heat that I've found useful, I can't remember where the tip came from, is having a buff. Especially when you're racing in somewhere like Snowdonia, there's a lot of cold streams, and just using the buff, dipping it in every kind of stream or pond, and I was putting it on my wrist or put it around my neck where it's wet, and just tucking it in, and that helped cool down, but still didn't help me deal with it overall. But it was a nice little thing to have. I am tempted by the bucket hats I've seen. I've no Hoka. I've got a bucket hat. I don't know if that'll make a difference versus a kind of usual cap, but
Like I've had some hot weathers here, but again, I wouldn't say I've survived the races when it's been very hot, but I wouldn't say they weren't disastrous because of the heat, but they weren't, I didn't manage them maybe perfectly either. So maybe we'll leave weather and move on with this race.
I think with weather, get yourself some good kit. Don't get the lightest, most like get gear that works, will keep you warm, will keep you dry. That's what you're looking for. And then in the heat, let us know if you've got any tips, because clearly I mean,
We're still learning.
yeah, and I was going to say, and the podcast is called Running Gingerly, so you know the old ginger jeans do not help us in the sun, I think it's safe to say.
No.
So there we go. What was next on your list? What other things go wrong? I mean,
Well, sorry, I was
just every
bonking.
bonking,
Bonking,
yeah.
yeah.
Or
So I had, and this is a race that did go wrong for me where I bonked. It was one of the races around where I am now. It's about a 30K race, and I'd done it 2 years ago and did really well and came third, and it was great. It was very hot. It was 30 degrees starting off, so it was very hot, but I ran very well, came third, it was great. And then I was back last year. I got it was great. I got invited back because I'd come on the podium the year before, and so it was free entry. So I was like, this is great. And I turned up, and things weren't great because I was carrying an injury, which had meant one, I was carrying it, but also I hadn't trained great, so I wasn't very fit. Or wasn't as fit I'd been, and neither is that's not a good thing to be starting with an injury. But I also just got my fueling wrong. I had my breakfast, and I think I took two gels with me, or maybe two gels. I think it was two gels, and I had more gels, and I said, oh, I don't need them. I don't want to be carrying that extra stuff. Again, what you were saying about how heavy is a gel, stick in an extra gel. But I didn't stick in the extra gel. I said, oh, two gels will be fine. And it wasn't. I was okay for the first 22 kilometers of the race, and then just totally bonked. And I could feel the emptiness in my stomach, and it just the energy just seeped out of me. And I was saying to people, started going past me, and they were, how are you? And I kept saying, I'm empty, I'm really hungry, in the hope that they might give me a gel, but they didn't. Maybe. And I ended up, just as an example, I was looking back at it. There is a 0.2 of a mile climb just at the end. So it's, I don't know what that's in meters, but less than 400 meters. It's a climb. And between last year and the year before, I was 2 minutes slower on it over 0.2 of a mile, just because I had no energy. And I had, I think, four people overtake me on this like 1/5 of a mile section, just, and I just had nothing left. And I was quite, well, it was just ridiculous because I had more gels. I could have put them in my bag, and I went, no, I don't. And just, yeah.
Yeah.
Proper. There's the only time I really properly bonked in a race, and yeah, like I was
That's why you.
walking on like really flat stuff, and just yeah. And there's a picture of me afterwards, which I think my friend took of me and said, "I'm not going to send this to you to your girlfriend now because you look too bad, and I don't want to worry her." So it's like, well, that's not great.
Why I always have in in my shorts, in my running shorts, there's always a little pocket at the back of the shorts, and I always stick away a little emergency gel in there, the old bum gel as I call it.
Nicely warmed.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's not part of it. I have it like in my pockets on my pack. I've got my fuel, but then I always have that as there as an emergency one. Like I always want, you always should have more food than
You
is
think?
listed or than you think, because also at some point, as we've talked on other ones, you're going to pull something out of your pack and go, oh, I really do not fancy another, in your case, another birthday cake goo, flavored goo. And so you'll just decide you don't want something. So nice to have an alternative to at least try. But bonking is horrible. Like you just have nothing. You know, we talked about it. We talked about it on the Paddy Buckley one, obviously, that first attempt when we both massively bonked going up from Clanberris. Horribly, and you're just nothing in there, and you just, you having to sit down, like actually physically sit down and stop. But what I've certainly learned over the years is that you can A, see it coming quite often, and B, you know when it happens. And what we've learned from that one and from other ones is it's fixable. It's amazing how much you can bounce back. It's amazing how much you can recover. You just need to sit and eat and try and get something into you. And so I always, I kind of now know you can bounce back. And so early on, if that happens to you, I think you could have a tendency to go, right, I'm just done. Like, I'm going to quit this race. I'm done. And again, we talk about my DNF, but like, you just make a decision, right? I'm out of energy. I'm done. Or my legs are just shit today. I'm not going anywhere.
I've nothing left. It's over.
Exactly. So you can always turn it around. It's deeply unpleasant, especially if you have no fuel. If you have some fuel, just stop and have it. If not, then you're on a bit of a death march to the next aid station or looking for a kindly soul. I do remember. I don't think I've. Oh, I have bonked badly in races, but I always remember we went out for a run once out towards kind of Box Hill or something one time, and you totally bonked on that training run, and there was a last hill down. And you just slid down it on your arse. I think you fell like three times coming down, just because your legs are obviously so weak, and then you just gave up and were like, "Oh,
I
just
do
gonna
remember.
slide down here."
I'd forgotten that. I'd forgotten that. And we got back to the car, and I think there was some jellies in the car. And I just like lay down in the car, like it was covered in mud and it ruined your car. So
He did,
it's like, I also remember, just as a side, for bonking and training, once I was living in London, and I was decided to go for a run around Hampstead Heath, and it was I didn't have any races. We didn't. It was just the middle of, like, we don't have a season, but it was like 6 months away from either a race before or after. And I went, I wonder if I'm sure I want to go out and run 30 miles just to, prove to myself I can do it. And I took one gel for this and just didn't think about it. And I had, it's about 7 miles, I think, loop if you do the extension. And I'd had my last gel before I did that last loop, before I headed out of the last loop. And that last loop, I just bonked so bad. And I ended up, like, you're properly sort of walking and wobbling at different places. And I ended up, I remember, eating some leaves of a plant. Now, I don't know if it was a nettle plant or something. I remember thinking, these are edible. You can eat
Really,
these. And
really?
eating, yeah, I think
Oh
they must have been
man,
nettle
that
plants
desperate.
from Hampstead Heath.
I mean, it's
Just.
not like you're in the wild there. Why don't you just go to a shop? I mean, what do you eat leaves for? It's not like it's not Survivor here. You're not on a desert island. You're in Hampstead. Just pop into
Oh,
Londis or whatever. I don't know. Get yourself
yeah.
a chocolate bar.
And there was, well, as I said, there wasn't a race. I was doing loops, so there was no excuse for it. I just.
I mean, that's just idiot behavior, I think, if I'm honest. Yeah. Anyway, when I recce'd the UTS 100K last year, I did a recce and drove down to Wales and just ran the second half of the race in one go. I'd like that. I just stuck a load of stuff in my bag and I ran out and I'd met a guy, and apologies because I've forgotten his name, really nice guy, and we kind of fell in together towards the second half of that second half, the last quarter, I guess, and we were running it together. And coming down literally off the last climb, I just bonked. I'd run out of energy like an hour before was the last thing I'd had. But we'd been chatting or whatever else. And he just went to me, "All right." And I was like, "I'm just really dizzy and really lightheaded." I said, "I think I've just bonked." But it's, we're kind of coming back down towards Llanberis. I was like, "I'll be all right. It's half an hour or so." But I was quite dizzy. And he did exactly what you were looking for. He just said, "Oh, well, I've got a gel. Do you want one?" And he gave me one of them Vela Forte gels, and it was like rocket fuel. I was like, "Thanks, mate." And then, yeah, he saved me because I was definitely getting dizzy, so I could feel it coming. But thankfully, it didn't happen. But yeah, I think again, there's a lot of, I won't say untruths, but a lot of stuff out there about like running faster and adapting to burning just fat, and so therefore you can just run for hours with no fuel and Cillian Jornet going out in the mountains for 10 hours and eating berries. I mean, there are exceptional human beings out there, but for the vast majority of us, you need to put something in your body if you're going to be running. Like, it's, you pl plan to put in something every sort of 45 minutes, I think, is probably good advice for going out.
I think, I think that's it needs to go in to have some energy to come back out again.
Yeah. Don't eat leaves.
Don't eat leaves. Like, yeah, so definitely a top tip. Chuck in an extra few gels because
Leaves
the
aren't
worst
great.
thing, leaves aren't great, especially not Hampstead heat leaves. There's a lot of people, a lot of
Grim.
wild peeing there, I think. So it's not definitely not my proudest moment.
Pick the high leaves at least. At least pick them above waist height. Right, few links. We've done kind of bonking weather. I mean, injuries is one. That's when things go really wrong. I mean, if you've got an injury, you've got an injury. I'm not sure there's much you can do about it. I don't think any of us is. I think we've had a couple of ankle rolls and things like that in races, but for all of the, these races you can suffer through a lot. If you've got an injury, I think you just have to, accept it, deal with it,
I think
and.
that there's also the question of like what is the injury? Running through an injury is never advisable, but there's also like if you have cuts and grazes and it's blood, but you're fine, you can go on.
Yeah, I mean we've dealt with a lot of blisters, right? That's par for the course kind of, and I think they can be very painful, but you can feel a hot spot coming and try and deal with it, or as often I've had, and you've had the same, they're gonna pop as you're running, and they're gonna be really painful when they pop, but they're probably really painful for about 10 minutes, and then it's all right after they kind of you can feel them pop, they're like fire. But then they are all right, you can deal with blisters. And aches and pains you can deal with, knees. We've both had knee issues, I think, on various races, which is just an accumulation of slamming your knees on going up and down mountains. I think that is good advice. What you're saying is like, yeah, try, it's hard when you're tired, but try and assess what it is. Like, really think, have I had this for a while? Is it getting worse? Okay. Can I keep going? Because of that, sometimes you're looking for a way out, I guess. You're looking for a chink, aren't you, to go, okay, well, it's done. Your mind's trying to find an easy out. So,
Yeah, and if you're on the long races, things hurt and they will probably get worse in terms of the pain, whether it's a knee or an ankle or but like if you've had a fall and an injury, it's kind of obvious what causes it, but sometimes it can just be, tendons or ligaments get sorer and sorer because you're running on them. And I remember last time we did North Downs Way 100, when we finished, I was 100% convinced that I had
two
broken my
broken
two
feet.
feet. I didn't, because that would be silly, but I was sure that in my head they were so sore. And I thought, well, I must have had a stress fracture from one foot, and I must have had a stress fracture from the other one, and they were so sore. But I was most of the way right. I thought, well, I'm just going to grit it out. And I didn't have a stress fracture. I just, things had swelled up and it hurt. But at the time, I did think I had a broken foot. But anyway,
You didn't. You
I
didn't. You
didn't.
didn't. I mean, the other one I get nav. We talked on
Our
nav.
speciality.
Yeah, I mean, nav can go wrong. We had, I think it was the Wicklow Way race, which was the first one I remember where we just totally went the wrong way. That was kind of in our first year of ultra running, and having said we've been doing it for 12 years, if you listen to the previous podcast on Trail de Chateau, which we did fairly recently, I also got lost on that one, so I'm not getting any better in 12
No.
years. I still
No.
fail to follow the neon signs. But I
And
think, like, I don't think you give out tips on how, the race director will stand on the start of the race and tell you how to not get lost. I think it's more when you get lost, how you deal with it, because it can really mess with your head, can't it?
yeah, it can do, and I think that first one in the Wicklow Way, what I remember was we got lost, we took a wrong turn and got lost, and then you were really, really angry, went something like darn it, and then started off at like three times the pace again. So having been ticking along at like, I don't know, 10 minute miles, we're now doing like 6.5 minute miles to catch up. Like I was just like, that's ridiculous. It's a long race. Why are we suddenly going a lot faster?
Because you feel miffed because you were in front of someone and now you're behind them. So yeah, it is hugely frustrating, but you have to try and just not let that go to your head and start chasing back after, and just put it down as an error, and hopefully you've got plenty of time to rectify it. I do remember one of our another race was when we used to do a lot of those endurance life ones down on the coast, and I remember we were like third or fourth in one of these ones. I don't know, it was Gower or one of those ones. And we took a wrong turn and took the entire field with us. And it was that moment when, because we couldn't see, I think the people ahead of us are running through this field, and there was like loads of cows and clearly no markings. And it kind of slowly dawned on us that this can't be the right way. And we kind of slowed to a walk and a stop. And then you turn around and you see everyone coming after you, also all just kind of slowing and looking around. You're like, sorry guys, I don't think this is the right way.
That is not great. It also reminds, we are really bad. Like I think in that first year where we did 12 ultras in 2012, I think we got lost in at least five of them. So we're really bad. But you remember getting lost in the night on the owner, the winner? I can't remember the owner, whatever race it was.
I'd say it's Wunner, but you can call it owner if you want, yeah.
And I think we were running, were we running in second? And we got lost. We spent about
Yeah.
half an hour just going
Up
round
and
and
down
round and
steps.
round,
Oh,
going,
yeah.
there's the sea here. We can't go here. And yeah,
That
that
was
was annoying.
hugely frustrating, because that would have been our first race. I think we were going to get like a podium finish or something. And then we lost a couple of places in that. And then we did sprint back and managed to get third, I think, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it
That
was
was very annoying.
I'd forgotten about that one. That was really frustrating, because I think we were having quite a good race. But I said I don't really have any tips for Nav other than the race director will tell you how to do it. It's just if you get lost, try to retrace your steps and try to keep your head in the game when you get back. I mean, as for Nav on when you're out wrecking and doing our long runs yourself, so we've had plenty of bad experiences. And with that, there is that age-old thing of tell people where you're going, because if you're in the mountains and something goes wrong, people should know where you are. And if you get lost, and I do, as much as we joked about it, I do now have pretty much maps of every national park in the UK, and we normally bring them with us. And can nor you know we might go wrong, but we normally figure out where we are and be able to resolve it, even if that means like traipsing through bogs or forests or whatever. But so I
Yeah.
guess it is quite important, and we're lucky because we often have done stuff together, so there's two of us as well, which makes it a bit easier. But
It's easier to keep the head when there's two of you, because there's one person who go, "Hey, hang on, why are you sprinting?" Or to say, that's another thing. Sometimes you think you've gone wrong, you're fairly sure, but you keep on running in the hopes that you're right. And you're like, no, if you're not sure, you should stop and check rather than keep running in the wrong direction.
So that's a nav, and then I mean the other things I guess is fueling can go wrong. That's kind of, I guess, we talked about bonking, but it also can be if your stomach goes. I've had lots of issues, as anyone who's listened to any of our podcasts, and nearly always me vomiting somewhere or other. I think in the early days we said it wasn't going to be a good race unless I vomited in the first 25 miles. I think again, it's learning to deal with that, learning what foods are good for you, knowing you can recover from it has always been my big thing. Is that I mean, people would often stop and say, "Are you all right?" And you would just laugh at them and go, "Yeah, he's fine. He does this every race." It's like
Just
realizing,
seeking attention.
exactly. Realizing you can get through it. That's all right. I've had stitches. Stitches are horrible. And that was probably what caused my DNF, if I'm honest. I know a stitch sounds ridiculous. I don't know if it's a good time to go into it. Okay, it probably is a good time to go. We have to set the one DNF, so we might as well talk about it, because that's when it goes wrong. And funnily enough, it was just when I was on my own. You abandoned me.
It was during the COVID time,
It
so there were
was.
extra issues with me getting there. I
Yeah.
didn't just go, ah, no, I don't fancy it.
Yeah.
I had signed up. I had signed
I'd
up.
forgotten that, yeah. So it was a Wendover Woods 100, and I'd say the two things that caused it, stomach and head, and they're probably quite linked as well. I would say.
So how early did things get start going? Because I think I was, I don't know, but I was flying, I think, maybe back from Ireland the day you were doing it. And I spoke to you once I was back in Switzerland on the way, or maybe I was in quarantine. I can't remember. It was a weird time. But I spoke to you when things had already started to go wrong.
Yeah,
But
so
how early? Because it's 10 loops of 10 miles, roughly.
and I'd kind of I made a few mistakes. It was hot. It was a hot day, and I had in my head, because we'd had a few good results previously, and I had in my head that I wanted to do well in this race, and we kind of, we migrated from very much, mid pack to, I guess, front of mid pack. I
Back
wouldn't
up
be any
front
more.
pack, front of mid
Yeah,
pack.
whatever. I'm not good too. I'm just, but with this one, I looked at it and I thought, oh, this is something I could probably get, well inside the top 10, maybe towards a podium on this. I know this course very well from doing the 50. I think I could do well in this, but more than that, I wanted to do it in under 24 hours. Now, it's a really tough 100. There's a lot of elevation in this. I can't remember the exact stats. And I think there's only something like four or five people have got under the, certainly at that stage, it was maybe even only one or two had got under the 24 hours. So, A, I'd set myself a stretch goal that was maybe, well, it was pretty ambitious, but I really felt it was doable. And so I'd gone off probably a bit quicker than I should have. Stu Leaney was in the race, who anyone who has ever run around these parts or been involved in any Wendover race or anything else will know he is the king of Wendover. I think his he holds the lap record, is all the course records, just phenomenal. So he was there, and obviously he's pretty quick, so that set the pace of the race at the front very quick. And I remember coming through three laps, feeling quite good. And like quite high up the rankings, feeling quite good, but noticeably very sweaty and had like been getting through, I was very dehydrated already. And came to the finish at three laps, and Stu Leaney was sat there. And I was like, huh? What are you doing here? Some and he was like, oh, I've dropped out. He was getting like he couldn't get his core temperature down and he was getting dizzy and I don't know, but like not particularly a good way. So he dropped out. And I remember thinking, that's he could just be having a bad day, like we all have every now and then, but that's not a great sign. So that was lap three. That was the end of lap three. Lap four, I think I found it a quite hard going. And then I went out on lap five, and that's when the vomiting started on lap five. And I started dropping off my pace a bit, and couldn't really keep any food down, was getting stitches and just got in a real funk. And this is where I think the kind of head thing for me, I didn't, obviously we've done a lot of races together. I didn't have anyone else to kind of talk to. I think I said to you that to you afterward. It had become quite a lonely race because again, when you're a bit more out of the mid pack, I was by myself for I think for the previous four loops, just by myself. And I don't, because I've normally run these races with you, I'm not somebody who's used to running with music or anything else. So I literally was just running by myself, loop after loop. And so you kind of really go into your head. And if you're feeling good, that's okay. If you're feeling bad, I think that's quite dangerous. So I didn't have anyone to get me out of that funk or chat to or rationalize in a way how I was feeling and say, no, it's all right. Like, of course you're tired. Of course you're whatever, you've been running for, I don't know, whatever, 8 hours. Like that's okay. You're all right to be tired, I had no gauge of anyone else. And I also, it's a bit silly, but I was going on holidays the next day with my family. And again, this is where I guess race prep we should come into it. Like that was just a bad idea because as I got started getting those negative thoughts, I was like, well, why am I doing this? Like, if I carry on, I'm here all night. I'm not going to sleep. I'll be wrecked for my holiday, which is just not in anyone's interests. about to go away with the family. I don't want to be miserable and grumpy. And if I haven't done well, like, why am I doing this? It's not, I'm not really enjoying it. And I really went down that line of thinking going, and it's a complete opposite of, and I think, again, it's something that you learn about when we talked in the TDS episode about how I had that mantra on my arm going to written saying, smile, this is
Enjoying
what you're
it.
here for. Like, you need to enjoy it. Like, do you, no one's making you do this. Nobody, in the grand scheme of things, nobody gives a shit whether you do this race, whether you finish or you don't finish. Like,
Yeah.
I'll go to work the next day. No one will ask. Nobody knows about it. Like, it's not, so you're only doing it for yourself. So I kind of was thinking, like, why? I was questioning, why am I doing this? Like, I'm not really enjoying it. I feel sick. I'm vomiting. It's probably going to ruin my holiday. Just go home and see your kids and your wife and sleep in your bed rather than run around the woods at night, So I think if I hadn't had a holiday the next day, that might have pushed me on a little bit. And so that was just bad planning. I feel I've digressed a little bit. But anyway, yeah, so lap four started to go wrong. Lap five, it definitely went wrong. A lot of vomiting. But because I'd done the 50 for quite a few years, I came through after five laps and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do a sixth because I just want to say I've done one more than I did before.
How were you on time at this stage, having done five? Because, you were still quite high up in placing, I think, at that stage. You were like, I don't know, top five, top six.
Yeah, I was, yeah, but my times had started to slip after five laps. After five laps, I was like, I need to put in a decent lap on lap six to get back to get under sub 24. I need to do that. Now, lap six went horribly wrong because I'd been vomiting so much, and that in itself's not necessarily a problem, as we said. But I got this. I'd convinced myself that a bit like you and your broken feet, I'd convinced I'd pulled some stomach muscles or something. Because of all the retching and vomiting, my stomach, I just had this pain and this stitch in my side that I could not shift. And so when there was lots of up and lots of down, all shorts, ups and downs, but I couldn't run the downhills because the pain was too much in my stomach. And that was the bit that I was just like, I don't mind, if you, everyone, we've been in so many races where you've got a kind of death march or, up the hills, you're hiking and you don't lose much time if you're hiking rather than running. But if you can't even run a downhill and other people are running, you just lose so much time and it's just so demoralizing. As I was walking downhills and people running past me, and I was just like, right, this is it. And that was the final nail in the coffin. And so about halfway around that second leg, I think I sat in a tree stump and I called you and we had a chat and I was like, I'm done. I was like, I'm just gonna get to the end now this lap and then I'm done. I can't remember what you said. I don't think you gave me any kind of pep talk to say keep going. I think you could tell I've made up my mind.
And there's also, it's hard, like, it's maybe if you're there you can get a sense of how people are, but it's hard from, especially from distance, but it's hard even if you're there to see, unless you know somebody really well, where they are on the, is this just gonna ruin them to keep going, or is it, does is do they actually just need a kick up the backside? And that's where it comes back to, I think a lot of it needs to be just self-motivation, because, well, yeah. Well, I was gonna ask, sorry, you should finish telling the story of getting around, but then I was gonna ask, was there anything that you thought somebody could have said to keep you going?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, so I got right. Yeah, I sat at the tree stump, and then I walked in, finished lap six, and at that stage, I saw the time when I came in. I'm like, I'm way off 24. I'm way off what I want to do. And as I was walking into the kind of, because you come across that top field into the kind of marquee, which you go through on each loop. I was walking in that last field, and I look, so you see the time on the clock, and I was like, right, this is gone. My 24 is gone. I've just this lap has taken me, I can't remember how long it was, 2 hours something, and I've four more to do, and if they're at this pace, I'm nowhere near 24 hours. And in my head, I was like, and how am I going to get, at that stage, I was like, and I'm not going to get any quicker because,
I feel so bad, and it's
well,
going to be
I
more.
feel so bad, and you're going to be more and more tired, but you're naturally going to slow down over time rather, that my thought is you're going to slow down over time rather than get any quicker. And so I just walked into the tent and I said to James Elson, who's there, I was just like, I'm done. And he's like, really? And I was like, yeah, I'm done. And that was it. And immediate relief. And I was like, right, yeah, no, right, cool. Not ruining my holiday. I can go and sleep in my bed, see my family, all good. I don't need to be doing this. But in terms of could anyone have said something, obviously I then had regrets after that, for lots of reasons, as you do having a DNF. And you're looking at the results and the finish times, and people behind me came third, and people behind me got very close to 24 hours. And what I didn't know then that I've since learned through Paddy Buckley and TDS and everything else, if I'd sat at that aid station, if someone had been maybe there with me, that I'd sat and had eaten at an aid station as we've done another one and really got some fuel into me, got my head right. Of course, you could get quicker again. I mean, you've done the, I remember a famous your comeback race when you did the after your back operation, you did the went over 50. Your quickest lap, I think, was the last lap, or certainly it was your second quickest lap.
Yeah,
Like,
that was so fun.
and so you can get quicker. That was like my low point, a bit like when we talked about Paddy Buckley. Our leg four was one where all the wheels came off. Our leg five, we actually bounced right back again. And so I think in hindsight, I probably wasn't experienced enough and I didn't know it then. And equally, I was on my own. I don't know if I'd had somebody, they would need to know me, like you said, quite well. But if somebody had said to you, well, no, you can get better, you can get quicker, then kind of I would have seen that maybe that 24 hours wasn't gone and maybe that podium wasn't gone. I just, but in my head, I was like, well, it's only going to get worse from here. So that's all gone. Let's forget about that. And I said, it's only then you're looking at the results and people who paced it well and better than me and done it, who at that stage were quite a bit behind me, but had just dealt with, so you think, well, I could have sat there for 20 minutes and had some food and, you might have been flying again. So yeah, I think somebody could have, but I'd worked myself up into that, that's where I was. And
And
maybe my stomach wouldn't have got better. And as I said, it's demoralizing when I couldn't even run the downhill. So you never know, right? You'll never know. But
no, you don't know, and as you say, you can look and go, I was half an hour faster than Bob, and he finished in third. But Bob might have been taking it really easy for those first six laps
exactly. Yeah.
and kicked on,
Probably
and so.
was. Yeah. Yeah.
But it is interesting to see, and that's, I think, for because I'm thinking back to the Paddy Buckley, where I said I didn't want to go out in the fifth leg at all, and if it'd been my choice, I wouldn't have gone. But we went and we sort of sat and we had the sandwich, and all of a sudden my world changed, and I had the external motivation of you were going out, was sort of expected, and so. I was like, well, I feel okay now. I don't have any excuse not to go out. And I think, yeah, get give you're ever dealing with somebody who's like that, getting them to sit and eat and just go, don't make your decision now, sit and eat and see how you feel.
Yeah.
But it's hard. You
I think it was a
also
bit, I think it was a bit of a perfect storm as well, in that, first long race. I would have been by myself. So I'd never really practiced doing it by myself. So, headphones or something else might have distracted me. I think it was that thing of going away the next day that was really playing on my mind. Family time and family is very precious to me. So I didn't want to ruin everyone. It felt very selfish to stay out there doing it. Then, bad stomach, the heat. Also with the looped course, it wasn't like, and also it's Wendover, which is near here, and I train a lot there, and we've run there a lot. The course in itself wasn't exciting. It's not like, Paddy, but you're going on leg five, you're like, oh great, we're going to go up Snowdon, or in the last case we were going up to the Corner Du, or it's exciting, it's something different. You know, that was just like, I'm just doing another loop. Like, I mean, I'm
The
not gonna,
Gruffalo
no.
again, you know, or
Yeah,
up this
exactly.
climb. And you're
But,
also, I guess you're very aware, like when you're saying, well, that loop was really hard, the next one will be harder. Whereas if you're in a say point to point race, you can go, well, that 10 miles is really
might have been
hard.
hot. Yeah,
The
that's
next
a good
10
point.
miles will be easier because either it'll be downhill, it'll be easier, or be uphill so I can hike it. You know, you can at least hope things are going to get better. Whereas when it's a loop course, it's like, no, it's going to be the same again and then again and again. And it's, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so that was my one DNF. That was however many years ago now, I can't think. But I'm again,
Last.
it's that whole fail forward. I didn't just I hope anyway, I didn't just DNF and put that away somewhere and not think about it. I did think about it. I did. Regret seems a bit of a strong word at the moment. I think in that moment, at that time, it was what I wanted to do, and so that was the decision. I hope I've learned. You know, I do think I learned a lot from it as well. You know, and like all of these things, you're doing it primarily for an experience, as you said. Where we're not going to be. Well, I'm not. Maybe you still hold hopes of being like a pro runner and winning races and whatever, being sponsored and all of that sort of stuff. But ultimately, you're doing it to enjoying it. You're doing it for an experience. And now I have had that experience of DNFing, and I know what it feels like. And you try and learn from that, and you try and use that to motivate yourself to do other things. And you know, since then we've gone on to do some great things and have some really good results and achievements. And so it's all, you know, look at it all in the round. It's all part of it, isn't it? So yeah. So
Yeah,
no.
and it's good to, yeah, good to learn from it, and you can, you know, you've done the
Says you who've
DNF,
never
and
DNF.
well, you've done the
I just need you to DNF now, and then we'll be even. That's what I
DNF.
need. That's my redemption.
Well, you see,
Stop finishing races.
you were more ambitious. I've never done anything like that distance, by myself. You know, I've done. The longest one I've done by myself is 80K, which is, so that's like, I don't know, 50 miles or something. Well, about 50 miles, which is different because you do it all in the day. And that's a huge thing because everything's better in the daylight.
Yeah, I mean that is one thing. I know we're about to wrap up, but last I remember I said last summer, yeah, last May, I did the UTS 100K. So not 100 miles, 100K, but obviously 100K in those mountains. That's a full day out. And that was the longest race. If I finished it, it was going to be the longest I've done by myself because obviously I DNF'd in the 100 miler. And I had a real low spot in that, as I think you know, for a few hours when things weren't going well with the heat and with my stomach. But I got through it. And that's the difference, right? That time I was by myself and I had learnt and I did sit down on my second ascent of Snowdon. I sat down several times and I tried to get food into myself. And I broke it down. I was like, just get to the next bit, just get to the next bit. And that's all part of that. That comes probably from having that DNF experience that then, so I can now say, well, actually, I can cope by myself. I know how to deal with it by myself. I'm not dependent just on having somebody next to me. You know, you get through that, you deal with it, you do it the right way, and you can bounce back. So,
And just as a aside, if you have that picture, you stick that up on the Instagram with the finishing picture of Snowdon. It would be after all the things of what can go wrong, the picture of you finishing that Snowdon race. You look so happy, exhausted, but so happy. And it's one of my favorite pictures from races. And it's not even me, but it's a really nice picture. And that is
I was,
to end
yeah,
on
that
a
was,
happy note.
yeah, I love that. That was yeah, that was a good, that was a good race overall with a low spell in the middle, but that's part of the journey, isn't it? So yeah, so that's all the things that could go wrong, plus when it did go wrong, I guess, covered in one episode. So yeah, I think that was a good one. I enjoyed that.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah.
I'm sure
Well,
there's lots of other things that can go wrong and will go wrong, and will go wrong in the future. But I think if you get your head right, you can probably deal. What was that? Was that a nice phrase you had? When things go wrong, don't go with it.
Exactly. Things go
Yeah.
wrong, they'll go with them.
That is a good mantra to end the episode on, I think. So, yes. So thank you all for tuning in. As ever, if you get a chance, if you could like, follow, subscribe, or leave us a review, that would be great wherever you get your podcasts. And we will be back again soon to chat some more about our fun on the trails. Until then, enjoy your runs.
Take care. Have fun.
Bye.
Bye.